Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Christmas edition of Suds News, Suds in the Sports Circle. Merry Christmas, everybody. Today is Christmas Day. This is being released on Christmas Day. We are not recording live, so we're not live on YouTube. Next Monday being New Year's Day, we haven't talked about whether it's going to be live or recorded, so just keep an eye on our social media and we'll let you know. But anyways, Christy, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Sleep's been a little, not normal because I'm at my parents' house. So one night I'll have good sleep and then the next night, maybe only 3 or 4 hours. I don't know. It's a thing.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I had a Christmas miracle happen today. Brought my mom downtown to see a play with my dad, and getting my mom out of the house with all of her health issues is like a huge triumph.
Okay.
So I'm pretty happy today. Today's been good.
That's awesome. So that's absolutely fantastic. So as you hear this, Christy will actually be flying back home to Louisiana.
Chicago is my hometown,
yep.
Like the southwest suburb of Chicago, and Louisiana is where I live in New Orleans, just outside New Orleans. So, it's different. It's not that bad here. It's like 50 degrees, which honestly feels like a different 50 degrees than Louisiana.
Yeah,
because they have a wet cold because it's a humidity thing.
Yep.
Up here, it's like a dry cold, so it's different.
Yep.
So it actually doesn't feel too bad, in my opinion, today.
Right.
But it's quite foggy outside as we record on this 2 days before Christmas. But it's it's fine. I love being from Chicago. I love saying that I'm from Chicago because it's a great city.
Yep.
I don't recommend coming here in the winter when there's snow and sleet on the ground, especially when it rains and then it snows and then there's a whole black ice issue. So, I don't recommend visiting during the winter, but it is, a wonderful place to visit when you get a chance. So, but if you don't mind snow, then hey, come to Chicago in the winter.
Yeah, I love snow. So, but we usually get enough in New England. We haven't gotten anything yet. We're bracing apparently for an El Nino weather pattern. So February should be a big month for snow. So we'll keep you posted with the weather condition going forward. Chicago is a huge in wrestling history as well. The Allstate Arena just hosted Survivor Series, and that was the return of CM Punk, who is a Chicago boy. The famous brawl out happened in Chicago last year, where CM Punk famously talked about Mindy's Bakery in Chicago. Chicago is rich in history, and we're happy to have a Chicago native on the show with us. But you didn't come here to talk here for us to talk specifically about our upbringing. You came to listen and hear and watch for General Hospital. So we actually had a lot of movement and storylines this week.
Yes.
I was actually shocked that Mr. Brennan was arrested so quickly. Being the head of Pikeman and the head of the WSB, I was very shocked that he was arrested so quickly. But I have a feeling he'll be back.
Right? Like, he wasn't really keeping his identity, I guess, that much of a secret, huh? If he was found out so quick.
Yeah.
Which is, like, interesting that the timing of everything, like, was just so, like, good. Because Carly was, like, fighting off, the pikeman slash head of WSB at Kelly's. And I was like, uh-oh.
And she smacked
that's really going to come down. So I was almost, like, expecting a little more, like, for them to not find Carly right away and for them to be kind of a fight between Carly and him. And I didn't know if he was going to just, like, kidnap her, if he was going to try to rape her. I didn't know what was going to happen, honestly. Like, it was like, uh-oh. I mean, I know Carly can hold her own, so I was like, come on, girl. Like, I know you got this. Like, you're not going to go down without a fight. So it was interesting, but I think it could have been a little bit more dramatic and not so, like, such a quick resolve to everything happening. So yeah, I was a little surprised, and of course, Anna was there going, okay, here's what you need to know about what happened.
Right.
And it
Yeah,
was just
because
all kind of
even
so
the shooter
quick.
who shot the guy that shot at Dante and Anna in the alleyway, the second in command, like he was on the ground. He was like, I'll give up Brendan, I'll give up Brendan, like just spilling his guts almost. Like, he was just, again, it was just very quickly. I just hope, and I'm really hoping that these were not the shows that were like right after the writer's strike. So the regular writers came in and just like, all right, let's kill off some of these storylines. And because that Pikeman storyline has been ongoing since before the strike, and to have it pay off that quickly is just not beneficial in any way, shape, or form. It didn't get anybody over. There's no money in that.
I mean, I was just thinking there was going to be a little more drama, a little more action with that myself. So I am kind of surprised it did resolve so quickly. But I don't know. I don't know. Was there a lot of backlash online over
Not that I
that
saw.
whole
No, there
storyline?
were
I just.
just there were a couple of people that questioned why he, left so early, or why it was all wrapped up like that so quickly. And I have a feeling he's going to end up being back. As being the head of the WSB, I don't think that, there's something that's really going to stick too much, because I'm sure he has scapegoats all over the place. But again, being the head of Pikeman, we don't know. So, clearly, if you think back when Sonny set up Austin and Mason with the whole Pikeman shipment, that was just a smokescreen in reality, because we all thought that Pikeman was Mason and Austin and Cyrus and the Warden. And now it just took a whole different turn. Because basically what Sonny did was he used the Pikeman boxes, cases, shipment cases for guns just to set up Austin and Mason, or Mason and Cyrus, I should say, and their whole contingent. And that was like what we thought we were getting, we thought we were getting closer to the Pikeman mystery with that. And it's like it really didn't do anything. Because now, if you think about it, Mason's in prison, Austin is gone, Austin is dead. Cyrus is, trying to get back into his family graces, and but it's almost like we had just had this big character shift with Cyrus again. So there's just a lot going on, and some of it doesn't make sense, in my opinion.
I'm with you there. Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same place you are, but I'm not like super invested in the storyline. But I was thinking it was so much what the thing that stood out to me the most was like how the WSB connection was playing into it with Anna and who shot Anna, who we still kind of don't, do we know? And
No,
then,
we still don't know.
yeah, we still don't know, so that's unresolved. And then the whole like Pikeman hitting on Carly, like that creeped me out, to be quite honest with you. I was like, she knows, and she revealed, like, I know who you are. And then he was like, then there was like this, like, then you really didn't know what was going to happen after that. But then, of course, Dante and Sam came in at the right moment and saved her. But I was just like, I kind of expected there to be more before it was completely
I
resolved.
have a feeling going forward it is going to be bigger. It's going to be one of those umbrella storylines because Curtis still wants to get to the bottom of who shot him. We know it was a WSB issued gun, so we know that already, and we know that the head of Pikeman is the same as the head of the WSB, so there's some links there, but we still don't know. Was it Forsythe? Was Forsythe the shooter? But that's never come out. And then with Dante and Sam, with the wallet, with the account number, and all the paperwork from Forsythe, like it just, I don't know, it was wrapped up a little too, I don't know, too cleanly for me. Like what is in that account number that was in the wallet? Like, was that, is that another safe deposit box? Is that another, you know, let's kind of dive deeper into that.
Yeah, so there's still so many unanswered questions, even
Right.
though they're like, okay, here's
Yeah,
the guy. This is him.
exactly.
Like, okay, let's get him arrested. Okay. Like, maybe there's more. Maybe it's not completely done yet. Like, I'm sure they're
There
gonna,
has to be.
bits and pieces are still gonna come out, and Anna's maybe gonna find out more stuff and work with the PCPD or whatever. I'm sure it'll be
Yeah,
something.
there has to be. And anyways, for anybody watching and listening, go ahead, hit the like button, subscribe, get notified anytime something new comes on, such in the squared circle. And if you're listening on our podcast platforms, thank you. Go ahead and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or anywhere that you could rate us. Give us a 5-star rating. That definitely helps with the algorithm, for people to find us. And also, stay tuned towards the end of this episode. Once we're done with talking about GH and Christy gets ready for dinner with her family, I'm going to go over and do a quick recap of the Iron Claw. I did go see it yesterday. As for those of you that are listening, it is the story of the Von Erich family and the curse of the Von Erichs. You know, it's a it was obviously it was kind of dramatized for Hollywood. If you're looking for the real story, I highly recommend The Dark Side of the Ring that focused on the Von Erich family as well. But this was really good. So I highly recommend anybody go see it. I'll give you some honest reviews after GH talk later on in the episode. So stay tuned for that. Also, the 10th Floor are putting out their Perfect 10 Awards. Christy and I are happy to help out with that. So pay attention to the 10th Floor podcast. Their podcast platforms and YouTube as well, because they'll be putting that out really soon as well. Anyways, all right, back to General Hospital. So Molly and TJ are still, you know, they finally got Christina on board with the surrogacy, and then they find out that, well, it could take about 6 months while we find a viable egg, you know, because obviously Molly's eggs don't work. On
That's
Friday,
interesting.
you know, after kind of agonizing about that information, they did go ahead and, you know, Christina came out on Friday and said, hey, just use one of my eggs. I'll go through the tests. You can use my eggs. I'm ready to go. So there's finally some steam in that storyline. I'm finally getting invested. I think it's got to the point now where I'm finally invested in the storyline. And I think we had to get to this point for it to be there.
I think this is my thing. Like, I don't care so much about Molly and TJ, but I care about how this storyline is going to affect Christina. I think that's what is in the investment for me as a viewer personally, because I find my Molly highly annoying. TJ is actually, he's got some layers to him. I actually like him a little bit more than Molly. I'm sorry. I find Molly annoying. She's kind of up there with Violet in the kind of annoying category. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No offense to the actresses. Like, it's just a writing thing. So I honestly am like more like, okay, I want to see how this affects Christina and her relationship with Blaze, being pregnant, donating an egg. So I'm guessing, because I was a little confused, like, why can't they fertilize Molly's egg and TJ's sperm and insert it in Christina? But because Molly's eggs don't work, which I didn't realize, whatever. I don't know. It's a complicated thing. I don't really understand the medical world with all of this, because I've never had this like done. So I can't speak from experience on it. But that means it'd be Christina's egg and TJ's sperm, right? So that'll be interesting. But I mean, I like that Christina was like, well, it'll be like, you know, you'll have a, like a biological gene, because it'll be like the Davis traits, you know? So
Exactly.
I like that. And I'm glad that that's what's going to happen. I've personally actually thought about donating my eggs to see if I had any viable ones left, because I'm not really interested in having children, but I know a lot of women out there want to be mom. I don't really personally have any interest. I've never had that strong desire to be a mom. Maybe if it was someone I was like really in love with and I'm like, yes, I will open up my legs and have the baby right now for you. But That would be like a rare thing, honestly. Okay. Maybe if it was Austin Butler, maybe. Just putting it out there. Anyway, no, like that's a really beautiful thing that Christina is doing for Molly and TJ. And I love that. And I'm glad that they're finally moving in that direction because we knew that was coming. We predicted that, but we were just kind of waiting for that to pass. So I'm happy that's where it's going. I'm looking forward to seeing how it affects Christina. And I'm sure, you know, Molly will be an emotional mess at times, no matter what, but we'll see where this goes.
Yeah. And I just, I'm with you. I want to see how it affects Christina, because I agree. Molly, I mean, being that this is now the fourth Molly in a year, you know, because the first few didn't work, right. You know, we know what happened with Haley Poulos, and, you know, we hope that she's getting the rehab that she needs and getting the, you know, the healing that she needs, as well as the family that she affected by her actions. You know, and then, you know, the other Mollies that came in just didn't work. One looked too old, one just wasn't there, you know, so it just, anyways, now that we have a permanent recast of Molly, you know, and TJ's been there, and I like TJ. I think that Taj Bellow has a lot of positive acting chops, and I think he can do a lot more than what he's currently doing. It's almost like they have to break him up with Molly. Like, I know that Taj is, that TJ and Molly are kind of that bonded couple. Nothing's going to happen to them. But because of Molly being, you know, and maybe it'll change with the new Molly, but Haley Poulos is always recurring. Taj Bellow's under contract. So TJ's always kind of there while Molly comes in and out. So there really couldn't be a really good storyline. But we see that he's got a ton of chemistry with Portia, you know, his step aunt, I think. I'm not sure
what that familial connection is. But I agree with you, because for a minute, and I know, bear with me on this, I know you guys are probably going to be like, yeah, right. But for a minute, they were kind of teasing that TJ and Willow might have something. Yeah. And I was like, yes, go there, because I wanted it to happen, because I needed something different than the TJ Molly stuff. And it would have added another layer to spice up her and Michael's life, because I'm so bored by them literally most of the time. And I was like, yeah, let's tease that. Maybe they want to be more than friends. Maybe the feelings deepen, but it never really went anywhere other than friendship. But I just like, I love seeing TJ in scenes with other females too.
Yeah.
And in scenes in general with other people, just like, he doesn't have to always have scenes with Molly. And I don't know why they do this where they pigeonhole characters with their love interest all the time and they don't have them have other scenes with other people. Like, I don't know why that is.
I mean, again, it could come down to the actors' preferences.
Yeah.
Comes back to what we talked about last week with you know, Amanda Seyfried and Josh Swickard, you know, kind of saying there won't be any love scenes. They all have that option to say what they feel is, you know, best for them as actors. But I do see it from the other perspective as, well, okay, but if we have a soap opera with no love scenes and we have actors that don't want to participate in quote unquote love in the afternoon, you know, it's like you kind of need a good balance. So while I do agree that actors should have the you know, the some say in their creative control, there also has to be some give and take from the actors as well. Be like, you know, if you only want to be with one person and only want to be physical with one person, well, maybe you're not cut out for a soap opera for certain characters. So I mean, I see both sides. And I stick by what I said. Actors have the right to, you know, kind of go with their comfort level. But at the same time, I see it for both sides. So, you know, we'll kind of move on. So we saw this week that Adam kind of pushed his way into being in, almost pushed his way into being invited to Carly's for Christmas. Joss kind of felt bad that he canceled his trip and didn't want to go home because he didn't want to face his parents. Do you think that's a smokescreen? I mean, do you think that all this is because I've heard numerous rumor and innuendo saying that it could be that Adam is Pikeman's son, or Adam is somebody else's son who's going after Sonny, and blah 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 blah. We don't know any of this, of course. But could it be a smokescreen? Maybe he wants to get close to Joss. I don't know yet. I'm still kind of torn. Where are they going with this Adam character? We see that he plays music. We see that he's kind of hooked on what is it, Adderall or Ritalin or something.
Something.
And then we see that, he's stressed out about his grades. Is it truly from his parents, or is it all a smokescreen?
I almost feel like it's a smokescreen. Like something is going on because he had a very strong reaction this week
Yes.
to Jocelyn saying, "Well, why don't you go home?" And he's like, "No." I was like, something is really, really, really seriously wrong. Like, I think he's using the excuse of, "Oh, my parents are hard on me. They expect too much out of me." Something else is going on at home that he's not saying.
I think you're
Or
right.
he's hiding something from his parents and he doesn't want them to know, which could be the drugs, but
Well,
I think it could be something more.
we did see one scene. I want to say it was about at least a month ago, where he was on the phone with his father or one of his parents, and he specifically said, "No, I'm not taking the pills anymore." And we clearly see him taking the pills. So, maybe that really is his MO. He doesn't want to go home because he knows he won't be able to take the pills that he's clearly addicted to. But I want to see Adam get, obviously get the help he needs, get and there should be a mental health storyline for these teenagers. I mean, we originally saw Adam when Joss and Cam had the sex tape leaked, and he came up to Joss and said, "Hey, I saw your sex tape. You think I can have a piece of that or whatever?" But then he ended up being a little bit more respectful and apologizing. So I would love to see some kind of mental health storyline for college kids who experience not only the sex tape, because I'm sure Joss still has lasting issues from that, as does Cam. And then what he's doing, because he feels that he has to get a 99 on every exam, a 92 won't cut it.
I don't know what the whole thing with that is. Like, does it have to be 92 and above, 93 and above, 94, 95, whatever it
Right.
is? Like, that's a little too obsessive on the exact like
Right.
number. Like, isn't it good
I
enough
think
that
it's
you
more of a more
passed or got an A? I
I
don't
think it's I think it's because like 93 below is an A minus. So anything above that is an A. Because but I don't know, because he also said, "I got a 95 on the last exam," or whatever, and he was upset with that. So again, 95 in my opinion is fantastic work. I'm happy
Right.
with a 95 out of 100. So,
I'm just happy I passed my exams
exactly.
when I was in college, but I'm not pre-med. I wasn't pre-med,
Right.
so.
But again, it's like, because Joss, and for those, just to let you know, for those of you that are wondering, yes, there is a recast of Joss right now, temporary recast, while it's about 6 weeks ago that Eden McCoy lost her mother. So it's, pretty reasonable as to why she's not currently on the show, taking some time off to get her grieving process. And Joss will be back at the beginning of the year. So, just kind of hold your hate, because I know Eden McCoy is getting a lot of hate because she was apparently skiing and not working, and got to remember, this is 6 weeks ago. So if she's skiing now, it wasn't 6 weeks ago. So they're probably on break for the holidays. So just kind of cool it on the hate for Eden McCoy.
I don't, why, I, okay, this is the thing. Like, I think I saw this on Twitter and I retweeted it. What is with the people like hating the actors for whatever issue they think they have with
Right.
them that week or whatever? Like, this is why there's soap actors that we know and love that are not on Twitter, because this kind of negativity and bashing is making them not want to be on Twitter. It's making me not want to be on Twitter. I mean, there's a reason why Rebecca Herbst and Kelly Monaco are not on Twitter. There's a reason why Laura Wright, I think, took a break, because it was just too much. Like, people like really love to, I was talking about this with a friend of mine, it's like people just love to judge and block people, and there's no room for conflict resolution on Twitter. It's just, I judge you, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm gonna block you.
Right, exactly. So
Okay.
I want to kind of read a post that the 10th floor put up, I believe it was earlier this week, and it made complete sense. And I'm trying to find it now. Where was it? It was just a couple of days ago. I'll find it. I'll read it as soon as I find it.
I think that's the one I mentioned that I retweeted. I think I know which one you're talking about.
Probably. Let's see.
I could probably find it.
But as I find it, to do. Oh, by the way, 10th floor put up made a Facebook group, so
Oh yeah, they did. They did. They did.
I
Yep,
will have
yep,
to go
yep.
ahead and join it.
It is, I think,
Yeah. Those
I
of you that are watching, yes, I
think,
am looking at my phone.
I know, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it too, because I'm trying to find the tweet that you're talking about. And it was 10th floor, wasn't it? So
It was 10th floor. I don't think it was a week ago. I don't think it was over 3 days ago. I think it was, I can't find it now. Unless he deleted the tweet.
oh gosh,
Oh, here we
yes,
go.
that happened.
Yesterday he tweeted, "You folks are literally driving the actors and other fans off Twitter. Have fun being alone in your hate circles." And that's what it boils down to.
That's the one I meant. And he also, Matt also tweeted some great stuff. 3 days ago, he said, "Soaps have the same problems as comic books when it comes to characters and fan acceptance. There can be new minor ones introduced all the time, but if you're not Batman or Spider-Man, your leading stories don't catch much love as they want to see their old favorites. But unlike comic books, actors get older. Eventually, they can't run around anymore. Eventually, the lies, cheating, and betrayal loses its flavor, much like a precocious child outgrowing someone's taste. Who should we latch on to? It would have to be one of the other characters. The variety, the seriousness mixed in with the irreverence, old couples, young couples, goofy fantasy stories, grounded real stories, evil queens and Snow Whites, everyone's wrong and also right. Maniacal villains and corrupt cops. Hashtag why I love GH, plus I get to talk to my mom weekly." So
Yeah,
I thought that was really great too. Really great
absolutely.
movie.
And it's the truth, because it's kind of sad that we have so many haters out there that literally hate watched everything. Like, they'll go on and watch something and literally just hate it. Not get it, as long as they're watching, that's all that matters. But here's the problem. In the advent of social media, like, you make people uncomfortable on social media. And I know that's a loaded statement because, everybody's anonymous. But the fact of the matter is, when you go ahead and are constantly crapping on everything, like, there are people on mute because they literally crap on everything. I'm enjoying a certain storyline, and then you're hearing somebody, "Oh, well, this doesn't work for me. It's so bad. And I can understand having your favorite characters, having your favorite story, couples or what have you. The fact that you're a huge, Elizabeth Weber fan, and the fact is that, your favorite couple is her and Jason. And I get that. But
Yeah.
you can also see, you know, how stories progress. Whether or not things are to your liking or things to your taste, you can see where somebody is going with it. You know, you don't have to crap on everything, you know? And it's funny because one of the other, I'll tell, I have to tell you off the air, but one of the other 10th floor Perfect 10 awards was for something that you're not a huge fan of, so I declined doing that one. And I just kind of, you know, that's why we chose the category. I chose the category we did. But you know, the fact of the matter is, you're not going to come on and shit on what you don't like. You're not going to come on and say, you know, oh, well, I can't stand Finn and Liz together. We've heard you say it. We know you're not happy with it, but you're not going to consistently barrage them.
I say it in a nice way, right? Like, I try to say it in a nice and polite way. Just like I asked Josh and Amanda in a nice and polite way. And I said, look, if you don't want to answer the question, if it's too personal, don't answer the question. Did I know So Pub was in there who was going to write an article about my question? No. Did I know people were going to blow it up on Soap Twitter? No. But things happen. I can't control that. I was sleeping all weekend when that stuff went down. Like, I was like on my phone at the end of the weekend, and I'm like, what the hell did I miss? Did I start a problem? Like, I, you know, like it's a crazy thing. But like the thing is, I understand, like, okay, so Finn and Liz are together. I don't like them, but I also didn't like Franco and Liz. I had to endure 4 years of that. I mean, it could have been worse than it
And by
was, but it's fine. I endured it. It's okay. I'm personally glad he died, but I know that's not your take, and I like that we have different opinions on that because it gives us variety on the podcast. Like, we're not always going to agree on every single storyline. Like, you have a problem with Anna right now, right? You don't like her. I'm okay with Anna right now because I feel for her. Like, the way Finola has portrayed Anna in the storyline makes me have empathy for her. But that's just me.
And see, I see it completely opposite because I'm looking at Anna as, you know, let me put it this way. I do have empathy for her when it comes to Charlotte, shooting Charlotte because Valentine didn't tell her what was going on. However, as a spy, I feel like watching her in the, you know, in the scenes where she has to be a spy for something or she supposedly, you know, doesn't know what's going on, she has no poker face. So it's like for somebody who's a seasoned veteran in the WSB, like she doesn't know how to hide her feelings or hide her stuff, you know? And that's what bothers me. Like it just frustrates me to no end when she's, you know, she's there, her face shows how she's feeling when she's supposed to be stone faced. So that's what bothers me about Anna. But, you know, regardless, again, I agree with you. It's a good thing that we do have those differences of opinion because, you know, it's almost like that episode of Seinfeld where he dates the woman who's just like him. You know, they could both eat cereal for dinner, you know, and they could, and eventually he gets bored because there's no variety. So it makes total sense. All right, but moving on. But yeah, you know, and that's what it boils down to. So people, if you're out there, give Aiden McCoy some slack. You know, she took some time off work to, you know, grieve her mom. And
I don't know why she would get hate for that anyway. Like,
because at
that's
the which I agree with you because at the same time the recast came on, she's out skiing with friends. Okay, well, that was 6 weeks ago when the recast was there. So, you know what I mean? Like, it makes no sense at all. You know, and how she grieves her mom is for her.
She needs to, like, I don't like to judge, like, this is just me. Like, there's a part of my personality that's a little bit judgmental, but I don't like to, like, just outright, like, judge
Absolutely
actors who I really know nothing about. Like, I've never even met Eden McCoy.
Exactly.
Like, so judging people just, like, based off their social media posts is just, like, wild to me.
Exactly.
Because, Like that's their time. So if they're grieving and if they want to grieve and they need to spend time with friends to probably like get their mind off things or whatever they need to do for their mental health, like that's their choice. Like that's what they need to do for them. And I feel like if anything, we need to just like respect that they needed to take time off for a completely valid reason. I don't understand. I don't understand so better. I really
Ida
don't.
McCoy will always be Joss. Ida McCoy is Jocelyn.
Yes.
So she'll be back sooner rather than later. There was also, I mean, I guess a picture surfaced. Now, we did get the spoiler that starting on the week of June, of January 4th, or January 10th, I should say, they're going to start the memorial service for Bobby. The first week of the
Yes.
new year is when they're going to introduce the fact that Bobby passed away. So they're going to do the memorial for Bobby and her portrayer, Jacqueline Zeman. And apparently a picture surfaced of everybody who was there because they're bringing Ryan Carnes back as Lucas. And, allegedly, Spencer and Trina were in the picture, but Joss and Dex were not. So there was a lot of internet hate again, towards GH as to like, why is Spencer and Trina there when Joss and Dex should be there because Joss is grandmother? Well, we don't know if that was everybody that's going to be there, number one.
But we don't know the behind the scenes of all that either. Like maybe they had scheduled time off. Maybe there was like a scheduling issue, or I don't know. I mean, there's so many behind the scenes stuff that like we don't know as fans. So like yeah, sure, it would be nice to have them in the picture. But is that like the worst thing in the world to happen? Like we have more important things to worry about, like in the world. I just feel like soap fans take it to such an extreme all the time
Of course.
because this is all entertainment. This is all entertainment, right? I think like look, at the end of the day, it is literally just a soap opera, but I know people feel like it's not because they feel like these people are part of their family because they grew up watching GH or soaps in general, like yada yada. But at the same time, it's like, okay, but these people aren't like actually people you know, like personally in person. Even if you met them once or twice or went to a fan event, like you still don't actually know that person. Do you talk to that person daily? Do you know who they are? No. Like you know their personality from social media. That's it.
And that's not even their personality. That could be somebody that could just be towards their character. It may not be them, so to speak. I mean, I've met Hulk Hogan, I've met Triple H, but does that mean I can call Triple H on the phone and get a job with the WWE? Shit, I wish. I would do that in a heartbeat, but it just doesn't happen like that.
Exactly.
But yeah, let's move on. So let's kind of get to a little bit of more lighthearted stuff. Lois and Tracy sparring over Christmas decorations.
Love it.
I loved that. I absolutely, and Tracy with the barb about them being so it was some Bensonhurst bus passes or something.
Oh yeah, like you can take the A bus back to
Yeah.
Bensonhurst. And then Lois was like, the A bus, you can't even can take the A bus back to Bensonhurst. It's this bus and this bus. And then like Brooklyn chimed in and Olivia chimed in too about different ways you could go back to Bensonhurst. It was like a whole thing. It was
Yeah, I thought that was absolutely hilarious, that scene. And then, Willow comes in with the reindeer antlers for everybody. And I thought that was just really lighthearted, fun, Christmas time antics at the Quartermains. We did see Michael go to, first of all, we saw Nina go to Michael and say that, Ned is blackmailing me. He wants, he knows that I'm the one that called for the SEC. Now he's holding it over my head. And Michael's like, well, what does that have to do with me? She's like, well, he wants insider information from Aurora. And you see Cyrus creeping in the background.
Yep.
That I wonder what that's all about, because that was a creepy shot, man. Well, I got to give kudos to the camera staff that they had putting that on, because that was a creepy scene.
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, we know Cyrus is up to no good. We know, we know, we know it's coming. It's coming down the pipeline, whatever the heck he's gonna do. And he apparently is eavesdropping for a reason. So, yeah. All that was interesting with the whole Nina and Michael stuff and Ned being, back in it. I was like, okay, so like Ned's blackmailing Nina, and then Nina goes to Michael, and then Nina's like blackmailing Michael, and I'm like, oh, this is like blackmail on top of blackmail, like this is crazy.
Exactly. And for and then after that, Michael goes to Ned and said, "Here's all my voting proxy." He's like, "I still have my shares, but here's my voting proxy."
Right.
And Michael and Ned's like, "Well, why are you doing this?" And Michael told him point blank, the probably the most intelligent thing he's ever said, in my opinion, over at this point in time over the past few years was, "Drew doesn't worry about it. You know, he's gone to prison for it. Nope, you know, it's really not going to do anything if the news comes out. Like, here's my voting proxy. Keep control of ELQ. You know, that gives that gives you majority control over over the voting." And he's like, "I hope you know what you're doing," which is weird for someone who's actually winning the thing to say. You know, and Michael's right. He's like, "We're family, you know. It's the holidays. Why should we be sniping at each other? Like, I'm at Aurora, you're at ELQ. You know, you don't want to merge the two companies because of the problem we had, you know, and having Ned as COO of the company," which I'm sorry, if you're in that C bracket, you have a really good job no matter what, whether you're CEO or COO or CFO or, you know what I mean? Anything on that C-suite level, you have a really good position in the company. But you know, Michael's like, "We're family. We shouldn't be fighting. You know, Drew doesn't care who called DC D S the SEC. So, you know, let's just end this war. And here's my voting shares."
I mean, I want it to be done. I just want this whole SEC. I want all the truth to come out, everybody to know Nina called, whatever. Like, let's just be done. 'Cause it's been so long, I don't even remember how long this has been going on for with the storyline. So I'm ready for it to be like done, done,
I don't
donezo.
blame you. Exactly. You know, Spinelli, did you see the scene where you know, Spinelli and Felicia kind of team up on Maxie, and Spinelli comes in like a drowned rat, say, "Can I, you know, use your shower? I'm kind of locked out. My house, my apartment is flooded, and this and that." And
Yeah.
it's, you know, and it's just a
It was set
ploy.
up.
You
Yeah.
know, it's just a setup for, you know, Maxie to take pity and bring him in as a, you know, as a renter, and he's going to pay rent to help her out financially. Which I like, because
Yeah.
honestly, I
Yeah,
haven't
yeah,
seen.
yeah, yeah. No, I think they've been kind of hinting at the whole Spinelli Maxie reconnecting again for a while now. So this is a way for that to like really take steam. Like, okay, let's get this train going. Like, let's go. Let's get back on the
I
Spixie
mean,
train.
of course, Bradford Anderson is recurring status. He's not under contract, so you know, maybe they'll put him under contract for a year or two. Maybe he will, you know, stick around more often than just popping in every so often. You know,
Right.
I mean, if Steve Burton comes back, you know, that'll be good for Bradford Anderson to come on more often. It's almost like it, I'm going to make another wrestling reference here for those of you out there listening. It's almost like Bradford Anderson is Jimmy Hart and Steve Burton is Hulk Hogan. Anywhere Hulk Hogan goes, Jimmy Hart gets, you know, as we say in
Funny.
the wrestling, Jimmy Harted in. Eric Bischoff used that term as well when they went over to TNA. Eric Bischoff was Jimmy Harted into the promotion when Hulk Hogan was signed. So you know, we all know that Jason and Spinelli on screen are associates and friends, and we also know that Steve Burton and Bradford Anderson are best friends. They have their touring show. They have their own podcast, you know, which has had more GH actors on lately.
And Patreon too. They're also on Patreon.
Yep, they are on Patreon.
If you want to get a little extra fan interaction with them and you want to pay them a little money, you can do that.
Right. So it's just, it's, you know, maybe Steve Burton is on his way back. We don't know. And there's a lot of rumor and innuendo out there about Steve Burton coming back. You know, his contracted days ended in November. So he is a free agent, so to speak. We don't know if he's actually signed with GH. Apparently he said no at a lot of fan events, but you know, there's a lot of times there's an NDA in there and
the fans, they want him back so bad.
They do. But like I said, I don't want him back unless there's a, you know, there's a good story for him.
Right.
You know, well, I don't want him back just to be back.
And I'd said this before, I don't want him back unless
unless
they're going to have consistent scenes with Elizabeth co-parenting. And I'm not asking for, you know, the liaison romance to return, because honestly, I think that's highly unlikely and probably impossible at this point. But I would like to see them be friends, mm-hmm. be co-parents like they always were friends. And I would like them to co-parent and at least have a scene once every month. I'm only asking once every month. I'm not even asking for a lot.
Right.
Okay? Because usually it's like once every 3 to 6 months we have something. So I would like once a month it'd be like, hey, you know, Jake's going to go to a baseball game with Jason or something. I right. don't know. Like yeah. we never got to see that with that gift he gave him. Like we didn't get to see that. So, you know, it's just something I would personally like to see yeah. on screen if Steve came back. But if he's going to come back and it's going to be the same old song and dance well, again with like, Sam getting back together, I don't care to see that.
Well, it's just like right now they have a lot of characters under contract that aren't doing much. Like with Maxie, you know, it's like, okay, they're kind of throwing her a storyline because of, you know, yeah, it's a decent storyline about not being able to afford money. It's a real life storyline. Because of deception.
Yes.
And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can relate to the whole exactly. debt thing.
So can
sure.
I.
For sure.
But it's like she's there. There's no really action to it. Yes, eventually I think it's going to lead to the truth about Cody's paternity coming out. Yes, and maybe Maxine Spinelli will get back together. So, I mean, there is a little bit of stuff there for it. But again, there's a lot of characters that they really aren't doing it much with. So I like, though, that Dante and Sam are working together. So, you know, Sam is kind of involved in the Pikeman storyline at this point now. You know, I like seeing, you know, just all of the stuff that's surrounding Deception and Cody and Sasha and Spinelli goes off on Cody this week, and you know he's like, "You're a deceptor. You practice deception. You know you are full of deceit and all this." And we know that they have history. But then Sasha stands up for Cody, you know, and Maxie stands up for Cody. And then Spinelli goes to find Cody, and they kind of talk it out and hash it out. And Cody apologizes and says, "Listen, I was a shit person when I first came in. But I've grown as a human. I have no ulterior motives and I apologize." So, they're, you know, I like those scenes, and I think Spinelli could add a lot of meat to some of the stories. And I can't wait for Sasha and Cody to actually officially get together.
We'll get there. I think February sweeps.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And then just kind of to end things a little bit, because I know you'll be skipping out in about 10 minutes. Friday's episode, they did the night before Christmas reading. It was
yes, that was sweet.
And Laura, I don't know. Maybe it was a wrong choice to have Finn reading. He's just I don't know. He's like, he's got as much charisma as a wet hammer. I don't know. I don't know. Laura was good reading the story, but I wasn't too thrilled with Finn reading it. But you know, either way, they do it for the kids every year. You know, it would have been nice to see I would have loved to see Liesl come back and be Krampus again. That was a fantastic scene a number of years ago. But, you know, Alan started, I think it was Alan that started the tradition. You know, it would have been nice to see, you know, Monica do it. Obviously, we know that she's there limited because of, you know, and she's in a wheelchair now. We saw Yuri push her in the Quartermain, you know, living room. She's in a wheelchair. But, you know, either way, I'm happy they have that tradition. And, you know, Jordan runs into Cyrus at the hospital, and she's like, "This is an event for the kids at the hospital. You should have no reason to be here." I think, and my thought process is, well, what did you think about, you know, the Friday's episode and the whole thing gearing up for another Christmas in Port Charles?
I liked it. Actually, most of the episodes this week were actually pretty good because there's usually like two or three of them that are like, "Eh, it's kind of boring. Skip, skip, skip." You know, I'm sorry, I'm a skipper. Sometimes I skip past stuff or I skip kind of to the end of the scene so I get the gist of what's happening. But I think most of them were actually pretty darn good this week, honestly. I really liked seeing the Quartermains and Chase and Brooklyn there. And I like that we got to see Chase's dad, Gregory, say, "Hey, I want to talk to my future daughter-in-law." And then they had a conversation about how he would really like to see his son marry, get married before he passes on, which I thought was really great. So I think that's going to help put a little speed, you know, timer on
Exactly.
that storyline, which is great because it's been a long time coming. But sorry, a little Taylor Swift reference for you. But it has been a long time coming for Chase and Brooklyn to, like, you know, get going. And some people think, I don't know, I had one fan and my think mentioned say, "Oh, it's too fast." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? This has been building
Right.
for like 84 years now." It feels like that, but it you know, they started their thing in 2020 and their friendship grew in 2021, and then you could tell they were becoming a couple in 2022, and now we're at the end of 2023, so it's time. And everyone loves them. Like, well, maybe not everyone loves them. And the reason everyone doesn't love them is because the pacing was just so horrific that they just turned off a lot of fans. And they were like, "I'm not gonna wait anymore." But if you were patient and if you waited it out, this is a really great thing. And so I'm excited. And it seems like they're having them on screen more often, at least recently, which is fantastic. So I personally have really enjoyed those scenes with, you know, Chase and Brooklyn. I kind of like that they hang out with Finn and Elizabeth because I would like Brooklyn and Elizabeth to be friends. So when they announced the engagement and Elizabeth and Brooklyn hugged, I'm like, that's nice. They could mend fences and put the past in the past and, you know, be like friendly, like be friends, because Brooklyn doesn't have a lot of friends other than, well, Chase and Maxie now, I guess, because they mended fences. But I mean, it's like she needs more friends. So
Well, wait a minute. What was, I mean, maybe it'll go too long, but what was the history between Brooklyn and Elizabeth?
yeah, I think there was something to do with Nicholas, because Brooklyn was involved with Nicholas at one point. I'm
Really?
not
I didn't
sure.
know that.
She slept with Nicholas in like 2012 or something.
Oh, okay.
There's some history there. So
Didn't remember that.
I don't know if it was all
I
because of
remember that
Nicholas,
she
but
came in and was trying to break up Dante and Lulu, but I
right.
don't remember Nicholas and Elizabeth. I don't remember that.
Nicholas and Brooklyn, it was kind of a flash. I think it was kind of more of a fling kind of thing, to be honest. I don't think it lasted long, like at all. I think Nicholas was kind of using her, to be honest. But yeah, they were together for like a little bit. I think it was, I'm seeing 2011, maybe it was 2010 when they slept together, Nicholas and Brooklyn. But Liz and Brooklyn were not fans of each other
Oh, okay.
for a long time. So that was, this is like over 10 years ago. But you know, soap fans, they never forget, exactly. Right? Never forget. So that's why I bring that up. But yeah, they did not get along in the past. I don't know all the details of that, but yeah, they didn't get along. So I'm kind of glad they're kind of just like on a friendly basis now. And
So go ahead, enjoy your dinner with family. We'll see you next week. I'm going to go on and continue talking about the Iron Claw. Enjoy your Christmas, and we'll be back. Folks, for those of you watching, I will be converting to full screen, and those of you listening, I'll be back just a second by myself. All right, welcome back, folks, to Suds in the Sword Circle. I'm switching over to the Sword Circle entertainment part of the show. As you saw, Christy was here earlier, and she just left to have dinner with her family. We're recording this on Friday the 23rd of December, and obviously this will be released Christmas Day, so it's our Christmas gift to you. But either way, I went to go see the Iron Claw. I was actually thoroughly enjoying it. I honestly feel that anybody will enjoy it, even if they're a non-wrestling fan. Because even though it's inspired by the Von Erich family, it's not all wrestling. Like, it goes into the actual story behind of the tragedy and the curse of the Von Erichs. As any wrestling fan would know, there was the curse. I mean, Jack Atkinson was Fritz Von Erich, right? He started the Von Erich family years and years ago. David was the oldest brother was Jack Jr., that actually passed away at 6 years old from getting accidentally electrocuted and then drowning in a puddle. So that's a very sad and tragic loss for any family. And then David, and then Kevin, and then Carrie, and then Michael and Chris. Chris Von Erich actually was not in the movie. The producers said that they had to leave some off for just to get a tighter film. So again, it's not fully biographical. It's more, inspired by the Von Erich family. But it does address, David passing away in Japan. It does address Carrie with his motorcycle accident after winning the Intercontinental, after being released from the after winning the world NWA World Championship, and then having the motorcycle accident that had amputated his foot. And then after being released from the WWE, he ends up committing suicide, shooting himself through the heart. It goes through, Mike Von Erich, killing himself after apparently from what the producer said, the character of Mike Von Erich in the movie is the amalgamation, which means, the combination of Mike Von Erich and Chris Von Erich. Chris Von Erich died from suicide because he, again, just the curse of the family. He could never, he shot himself in the head. Mike Von Erich killed himself with pills, did an overdose. And then Carrie shot himself. So Kevin is the last one standing. And it's just so sad to see just the ordeal that the family has gone through. But it's also like it has a meaning behind it. For Kevin, kind of pushing through it and, getting all these losses. And there's a, point at the end of the movie where, he's kind of crying and stuff because, I don't know if Fritz was the character of Fritz, if he was actually like this or if it was just the storyline purposes, but he was somebody that's like, boys don't cry, men don't cry. So, you don't show emotion. And it's funny because at the end, when he's in the backyard with his kids, Marshall and Ross, you know, which his two daughters were not portrayed in the film. But they just go through and, you know, the kids are like, hey, we cry all the time. It's okay to cry. Everybody cries. And he's like, I was a brother once, but I'm not a brother anymore. And the kids say, well, you could be our brother. And it's just so cute. So, you know, the innocence of a child, of course. But the wrestling in terms of it was not, you know, I mean, I know Chavo Guerrero helped out with it, and it was as good as it's going to be in Hollywood. They, a lot of the camera angles were worse than the WWE. I'm very sorry, but a lot of the, you know, action sequences, I know why they did it, because these guys aren't trained professional wrestlers. But, you know, in reality, it wasn't about the wrestling. The wrestling was the story there, but it wasn't about the wrestling. It was about the family. And honestly, go on, see it. I give it two thumbs way up. You know, it's called The Iron Claw. It's in theaters now. Go out and take a look. But I want to thank you all for watching and listening. My name is Vinny. Merry Christmas to everybody. We will keep you posted. Go to sudsandsquarecircle.com. Follow us on every social app there is. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll see you next week here on Suds in the Squared Circle. Have a great day, everybody.